chotze hamishtameres. If the chotze is ainim mishtameres, then it's not kainim. So then the Gemara says that's only for dovishal hefker fella. But if there's a das acheres makne, a dead bird falls in. But if you have a das acheres makne giving him atonin, then the Gemara says that even a chotze shenim mishtameres is also kainim. So that's on Yud Aleph Mid Aleph. So on Daf Yud Beis Mid Aleph, the Gemara has a shaila. Would you say when there's a das acheres makne that the chotzer sheinim mishtameres is even koine if it's abish ein sof lo nuach? Someone throws a matane, have a house and there's a window on one side, a window on the other side. They throws in a matane, going flying in one window, flying out the other window, and only flies through my rishus for a few seconds. So Aver Chatzar is kaine. Not only for sitting on the ground, Aver Chatzar is also kaine. So would you say that Aver Chatzar is kaine, even if it ain't so for Lanuach? So Rashi has for Nigo'inim, a Giris in the Gemara, that the Gemara is talking, somebody was mafkir something, and he threw it through my window. So I'm being Zechem and Hefker, and Rashi learns in the Gemara that that's considered Das Acheres Makne. Tosis crosses out the Giris, Loi Gassin and Hefkeri. Tosis on Yud Beis and Aleph, doesn't like that girsa. The Rosh quotes that, Mukiyosu quotes it from the Goinim, that they had such a girsa in the Gemara. So it's a mechudish dike shitas ha-goinim and Rashi, that Hefker is also considered das acheres makna. Why is it das acheres makna? We usually assume when I make something Hefker, it doesn't belong to me anymore. Then the other person has to be Zechem and Hefker. That's what Tosis is masig on Rashi. I thought that Rashi was a pellet. The Shach and Chosh Mishpa wants to paskin like Rashi. He says that was, he thinks that from the Goinim, that's what the Rishonim hold. It's very surprising. Here the Gemara had such a Havamina in Nidorim, in the Mishnah, and then Gimla and Aleph, that Reuben and Shimon are traveling on the highway, and someone took a neder, so Reuben is not allowed to get any hanor from Shimon. And Reuben runs out of food. He has no food, he has no water, he's going to die. So Shimon is not allowed to give him. Okay, pikuach nefesh is derech hakol ha-torkul. He's really going to die, so you can violate the neder. But Reuben doesn't have anything to eat. So the Mishnah says, let Shimon be mafker, his property, a bottle of water and some food, and then Reuben can be zeichem and a hefker, so he won't be in violation of muda hanor. It's not considered that he got the hanor from Shimon. And Rabbi Yossi disagrees, even though he was mafkerit and he's not being zeichem from Shimon, it's also a violation. Why is it a violation? So the Gemara starts off, the Sugya starts off, and then Gimel Amud Aleph, right after the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yechanan thinks that it's a Rabbi Yossi Shita is a real din deraisa, kasavar hefker kematana, that there's no such thing as an institution of hefker. When the Baruch Shalom created the world, he made everything hefker, and everyone can be zeichem. There are wild animals in the jungle that are still hefker. Okay. So there's such a thing to be Zechman Hefka. But once the jacket belongs to me, once the Gemara belongs to me, there's no way to me to revert it back to its original state of not having ownership. There's not such thing as Hefker. Hefker is Kematana. I make a Das Makna. I say, whoever wants, I own the property. It can never revert back to the state of non-ownership. I can be maknet to someone else. So then it comes out that Reuben is getting hanor directly from Shimon. So that's how Rabbi Yechanan originally suggested. My time is Rabbi Yosi, because of a hefki matana. Just like by matana, there's a das makne, and the other person is kind. So hefki is just an open das makne to the public, whoever wants can be kind. So if he would have held like Rabbi Yechanan, then the Rashi makes sense, that Rashi and Bob Masih would make sense, the Rashi with the Gerav Yudoi going, that the hefki is a das acheres makne. But the Gemara makes it to Yufte against Rabbi Yechanan. At the end of the Sugya Memheim and Aleph, the Gemara picks up weiter with the Rabbi Yechanan on the second line from the top. The Gemara on the top line distinguishes we are mafke b'fnei shnayim, a mafke b'fnei shloisha. So the Ran points out that we paskan like Rabbi Shua ben Levi, the last three lines in the Perek, Memheim and Aleph, that there is a din, the hefka has to be made b'fnei shloish in the presence of three people, but that's a takana mid rabbanan. Min ha-Torah, dvar Torah afilu be'echod havi hefka, if you're mafker, even if no one else is watching, it's good. And it's only midirabbanan that they're required. You have to be mafka in the presence of three people. That one should have the ability to be zeichem and hafka, and the other two should be able to serve as edim to testify that it really belongs to him, that he was really mafkirit, and the other person was zeichem and hafka. So there is a requirement of hafka b'fnei shlosha, but Rabbi Shulman Levi, whose opinion we accept, he holds that it's only midirabbanan. And Rabbi Yochanan held that there's a chilik between hafka b'fnei shnayim, hafka b'fnei shlosha, on the level of their isa. That he says, what he said on the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yossi holds a din deraisa, that hefke kematone, hefke is just a das makne, that's if you're mafke, there's nobody else there. It's beinol the beino. If there's no one else there, or there are two people there. So then, he only has in mind one of these two people should be zeche. This, if there's only one person there, me and the other, Reuben and Shimon are there, and Reuben is not allowed to get hanor from Shimon. So his mafkir, he's not really declaring that it should become hefker. It's a das makna to Shimon. It's a das makna to Reuven, that's all. Or if you have two people there, it's only a das makna to the two people. If you have three people, then Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, then Rabbi Yossi will agree that there's an institution of hefker, that it doesn't belong to anybody, it becomes ownerless. Because there's a Mishnah in Peya, beginning of the sixth parak in Peya, there's a machlekes, bishamay, bisilo. What if he made hefker only lanim v'lo lashir? So Beishamai hold Hefka l'anim v'lo l'ashirim is good Hefka. Bishil say no, achi Hefka l'anim v'lo l'ashirim. Hefka has to be Hefka l'akol. It can't be mafka to some people and other people not. So if you only have one or two people present when you're mafka, let's say there's nobody there when you're mafka. There's nobody there. I'm mafka my chometz on Erev Pesach. The Gemara says in Pesachim Davdala Mebeis that the need for B'dikas chometz is often only midirabbanan because midiraisa the bitul bial masagin. If you mevatel chametz is enough. So that's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos on that Gemara. Why is minatara? Why is bitul enough? So Rashi says that bitul chametz is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of tashbisu, because the Targum Onkelos writes on the word tashbisu tevatlon. So when you declare that you're not going to use the chametz, that's the fulfillment of tashbisu, and therefore there's no bal yirok because you did what you were supposed to do. And Tosfos disagrees. What do you mean? Bitul, you declare you're not going to use the chometz. That's a fulfillment of tashbisu. It can't be. It's a machlokes satanan where the ein bir chometz ala b'sreifa, ahash b'sasa b'chol davar. Rabbi Yudah says ein bir chometz ala b'sreifa, and hachamim say b'chol davar. 2 days in Tosfos, how we paskin, because there's a stam mishnah in the end of tomorrow, like Rabbi Yudah, that ein bir chometz ala b'sreifa. But Tosfos says they all agree you have to destroy the chometz. Either you have to destroy it by burning it, we have to destroy it by mefarav zolaruch hamat alayam. But if you just make an oral declaration, I don't plan to use the chametz, and as far as I'm concerned, it should be kafir the alma. So how is that a fulfillment of the mitzvah of tashbis? That's what Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. So according to Tosfos, what does it mean in the Gemara that mederaisa bebitul bealma sagi? Why is it enough? So Tosfos comes up with a whopper of a chiddush. The bitul just means that you mafkir it. We say both nuschos. When we are mabat l'chametz, we say libatol ka'afr de'arbe lehevi hefker. We say lehevi hefker to satisfy Tosfos' opinion. But according to Rashi, that's not what bitl means. Bitl means eskima daita l'das ha'Torah. He says, the Torah says, I shouldn't eat the chametz and I shouldn't get any hanoah. So he says, I'm mabat l'chametz la'afr de'alma. I don't plan to eat it and I don't plan to get any benefit from it. I'm not going to use it at all. So Tosfos claims that the bitul chametz means hefker. So the Rishonim ask, Tosfos has the kashi. But usually a person is mevatel chametz. I go across the street, I burn my chametz, and after I finish burning the little chametz, I have Pesach in the morning. Then I say bitul. Kol chamir v'chamir. There's nobody there when I say bitul. It's beno l'beno. You don't even have two people. Forget about three people. I don't make an oral declaration in public. So Tosfos says, right. Menatoira, we pass like a b'shem, and Menatoira, Dvar Torah Afilu Be'echod. Menatoira, the hefker is good, even if there's nobody there. Not only if there's one person. Even if there's nobody there, it's good. It's only a chumer midirabbanan. So by chometz, they left it on a din deraisa. They never made the chumer midirabbanan. But Rabbi Yochanan holds also from this distinction between hefker b'fnei shnayim, hefker b'fnei shlosha, but not because of the explanation of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, that it's only midirabbanan, that you should have edim. He holds on the level of deraisa. Why? So that's what the Ran explains, that Rabbi Yochanan is the shitosa in the beginning of the sugya, mem gimla mer aleph. He's saying within Rabbi Yossi, he doesn't hold like that, he's saying within Rabbi Yossi, that the din is like this hillel, that hefker is only valid, achi hafkiren elanim, v'la shirim kishviyas, like in Shnas HaShmita, the Paris become hefker, the parents that grew on my farm become hefka to the public, to everybody. So if there are three people there and I make a declaration of hefka in the presence of three, so he says three people is already a crowd, it's option milsa, it's going to become public knowledge. So then it's considered that he's mafkaret lakol. But if there are two people or less, then it's a das makna, then he's just being makna to other people. He's not being mafkir. It doesn't become monoless. That's how the Ran interprets over here. So that Rashi is episode. I don't understand why the Shach likes it so much. The Shach paskins la locha like the Rashi, that Hefka is considered das acheres makna. The Pashtus says that we don't hold like that. Pashtus is not das acheres makna. Why does the Mishnah say in Peah that according to Beisilos Yomafkel Anim Alol Ashirim, it's not a valid hefker like Shvius? What does it have to do with Shmita? So the Tosis in Baba Kama, in Baba Kama Daf Chav Chesem and Aleph, Tosis quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that the pasuk says by Shmita b'Hashvius Tishmetena Unetashta. There's a Kefa Loshen. So the Gemara has a Machlokes Satanaim. Whether Dibra Torah Kalishem, then Yadam Allah, Dibra Torah Kalishem, Yadam. Whenever the Torah has Kefal Oshin, Lashonis Kvulim, Hanik Tanik, Nosin Titain, Mos Yumos, whenever you have a double Oshin, here it says Tishmentenu, Unatashto, so there's a machlekis, does it mean you have to darshan something from the Kefal Oshin or not? So we assume, Lord Dibra Torah Kalishem, then Yadam, Torah doesn't just repeat the expressions. So from the fact that it's mentioned twice, Tishmentenu, Unatashto, so it teaches you something new. So what does it teach you? So Tishmetena means you should be mapka the Beir Shavis. Unetashta means, and even in the other 6 years of the Shemitah cycle, if you want, you can be mapka anything that you have. The Pashto says there was in the 1500s, there was a big machlekes between the Beis Yosef and the Mabit. They were together on the Bezdin in Tzfat. Some 98% of the issues they all agreed, but they had 2% of the things they had such big machlekes, and so it goes down in history that the Beis Yosef and Mabit were always disagreeing, which understand how they sit on the same bezin. The Mustama, 98% of the issues they all agreed on. But the 2% that they disagreed became very famous. So one of the famous debates they had was, what does the Torah mean that the Perish Shemitah become Hefker and Shnasa Shemitah? So the Mabit was of the opinion, it automatically becomes Hefker. The owner of the field doesn't have to declare that it's Hefker. It comes automatically Hefker. And the Beis Yosef's opinion has been accepted, that it doesn't become hefker automatically. It's not Hafkaita de Malkus, not the Rabbanu Shel Olam, the Melech Machi Amlochim declared that it should be hefker. If the owner of the field is religious, he's observant, so then it's supposed to be mafka de Paris. Kolzman is not mafka de Paris, it doesn't become hefker. It'll be an Issa Gezel if you're going to take it. And that's the Poshe Pshat. It says, Tishmeteno unetashto. You should be mafkerit. There's a mitzvah on the farmer to be mafka de Paris Shviz and Shnas HaShmita. And all the other 6 years also, if he wants to, there's no mitzvah, if he wants to, yeshlach netish acherish hikazu, if you want, you can always be mafker the Paris in the other 6 years. You can be mafker karkam, top, whatever you want, you can be mafker. So that's why the Beis Hillel used an expression, some I say, if you're mafker, hefker lanim, alo lashirim, is hefker lanim. And Beis Hillel disagree, we pass like Beis Hillel, it's not hefker, she hefkeren lanim, alo lashirim, Kishvius. What do you mean Kishvius? That the whole mocker of the institution of Hefker is the pasuk by Shmita that says Tishmetena Unetashta. And just like all 6 years you have to be mafkerit, so Shmita also you have to be mafkerit. And the farm is not mafkerit, it doesn't become Hefker by itself. And just like in Shmita, the mitzvah is to be mafkerit to everybody, la'anim la'ashirim, so to all the 6 years, whenever you want to be mafker anything, it has to be dafke, Hefker lako. Has to be hefka to laniyim v'lashir. Tosis in Bava Kama there's a famous comment that Tosis says on Samach Vavam and Aleph Dibra Mascha Motzi Aveda. Tosis says that hefker and yiush are not the same. Sometimes they have the same dinin, but they're not the same. And Tosis proves it because they learned that from two different psukim. Tosis says if you lost an aveda and then you misyayish from it, so then one who finds it is not obligated to give it back to me, not because Yush means I was mapkerit, no. It's based on the pasuk. The Chumash says, if you find an Aveda, Kein tasa l'chal Aveda sechicha, Kein tasa l'chamor, Kein tasa l'simlosai. So why does the Chumash give so many different mishalim of what the Aveda may possibly be? So in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have factories where they manufactured 5,000 dresses exactly the same. every dress was handmade. Every suit, every piece of clothing was handmade. It wasn't made by machinery, and they make a million that look exactly the same. So masim lemiyachedes sheyesh lusimanim sheyesh latoivim. Every beged was made to fit. Or even if it was made to fit, it's going to be unique. No two begadim are going to be exactly the same. Not like this banazet. They have a million begadim; they're exactly the same. All manufactured in the same factory. So in the days of the Tanakh, when it says in the Chumash, Chen Tasa, the Simlosai, every Simla had Simonim, and because it had Simonim, so the Baal Abeda is not going to be Misyayish, because it's going to go around and ask people, did you find my jacket? And it looks like this, and it looks like that. It has an extra string over here, and it has a pocket over there. There were no two jackets that were the same. Today, everything is exactly the same. So that's the marker. Simla miyuchedes sheyesh l'simonim v'yesh l'toivim is the marker for the institution of Yiyush. Masheinikin Hefker, the Makkah for the institution of Hefker, Tosis quotes that opinion. There are two opinions in the Yerushalmi. So Tosis quotes that opinion that the Makkah is from Tishmetenu Unitashto. So they're two different dinim. They're not exactly, they're not the same. Hefker is a Hakno. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, on Daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph, there's a Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The Gemara shows that it's really a Machlokes Hatanoim and a Mishnah, and the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish simply is which Tana's opinion should be accepted la halacha. So this machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, can you be mafkir property that belongs to you that's ain't a bishusai? So we pass like Rabbi Yochanan goes along in a stash. Abaylam shneim hein lachon lahagdishai. Zelafish ain't a shaloi, but zelafish ain't a bishusai. We learn out from a pasuk that in order to be magdish, ish ki agdish is beis hakodesh. But beis a bishusai, I've called bishusai to be magdish something. You need full ownership. It has to be shaloi or bishusai. And even though the pasuk talks about ish ki yagdish is beis or hegdish, the Gemara assumes that it applies to makne zayin, to be makne mamin, also need shaloi b'shusai, and to be makne something you need shaloi b'shusai also. So the Gemara assumes that to be makne something is something like an act of haknoah. Masha'inikain Yush, Yush has learned that from a totally different pasuk. Yush, Tosfos says, Yush learned that from Simlu Me'acheres Yesh L'Siman V'Yesh L'Tovim. So Yush is a totally different word. Rav Soloveitchik explained, what does it mean, Yush? So the Gemara has, if you have a Zutu Shalyam or Shlilusa Shal Nohor, if there was a hurricane, or there was a tornado, and my automobile has my license plate on it, it has my property in it, I have a lot of simonim, I can identify that it's mine. But the tornado picked it up and it landed in Tennessee, or it landed in Seattle or something. It was originally in New York and then it flew somewhere else. That's avudim imenu mikol adam. So then the Gemara says, it doesn't matter whether I'm a siyash or not. The dobe ha'avud, you lose your ownership. So that's if it's avudim imenu mikol adam. There was a tornado, a hurricane, something like that, or a flood. And it floated down the river and it's gone. Or let's say after the war. So the Nazis took away Svarim from all the different yeshivas, from all the shul, Sifrei Torah. So the people thought that they're not going to survive the war. They never see the Svarim back again. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that even if after the war, the Svarim do pop up, you lost your ownership on the Svarim. That's called Avudim Imenu Mikol Adam. That's like Zuto Shal Yamav Shalilusu Shal Nohar. So if you have something that's mamish avud, so then it becomes ownerless. But if it's avudim imenu mitzu yetsu kol adam, I misplaced my glasses. I forgot, I don't know, did I leave it in shul, did I leave it in the base medrash, did I leave it in the library, did I leave it in the classroom? Was I visiting in Woodmere? I don't remember where I left my glasses. It's not like a hurricane or a tornado, it's not a flood. It's avudim imenu mitzu yetsu kol adam. I forgot where I left it. So then the din is, I still retain ownership. But if I'm misyayish from it, then the yush is mashlim nishem avud, and then it's called avud. And then I lose my ownership on it. That's how Rav Soloveitchik explained. That it's a difference. Yush is mashlim nishem avud, and mela becomes ownerless, and hefker is a hakno away from yourself. The Chazon Ish has the same explanation, but with a different angle. I remember when I was a little boy, there was a balabasa in the shul where I used to daven, and my father, Shul, whose daughter was dying from cancer. So after the war, the Balabatim all used to get together, whoever, all the Europeans who came from the same city, used to have a farayin, used to have a club, and they all used to gather together. And they would talk about the old times and try to help each other with parnasa and with shiduchim, marrying off their children and so on. So this Balabas was saying to his friends, he came from the city Stoitze. So he was telling his friends that his daughter is dying from cancer. So they said, did you contact the Chazon Ish? So he said, who's the Chazon Ish? He never heard of him. So he said, there was a holy tzaddik who lived in their city after he got married, lived in Stoitze, and he lives in Bnei Brak now. They should contact the Chazon Ish. So someone contacted the Chazon Ish on his behalf, and they told him his daughter is dying from cancer. So the Chazon Ish sent, originally each volume of the Chazon Ish was printed separately. Baba Kama separately, Baba Metzia separately, Erevin separate, everything separate. So at that time, he sent the Chazon Ish on Kalim, on Mishnah's Kalim, and he wrote on the first page, it was blank, it didn't have any designs, he wrote on Chazon Ish's handwriting, Aleph Mem, Abinu Malkeinu, Shlach Refua Shleim Elcholi Hamecha. And he said, he sent a message, he sent it to America, he sent a message, they should put it under her pillow in the hospital, Achsidish and Maisef in the Chazon Ish. So they put it under her pillow, but she was so far gone, so she died. So the father had this Chazon Ish, he didn't know which way to hold it. It doesn't have any Nekudas. What are you supposed to do with the Chazon Ish on Caleb? What would I do with the Chazon Ish on Caleb? What are you going to do with it? So he gave it to my father. My father was the rabbi in the shul. So the only Chazon Ish he had for many, many years, till after I got married, the only Chazon Ish I ever saw was the Chazon Ish on Caleb. So when I was a little boy, they used to teach us Baba Kama. So we learned Perek Merubah. So in Perek Merubah, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah from Kalim. So I had a Chazon Ish on Kalim. My father had a Chazon Ish. I looked it up. So the Chazon Ish has the following pshat, the exact same thing as Rav Soloveitchik, but with a different angle. Rav Soloveitchik said that if it's really Avudim Imenu Mikol Adam, it's a Dabba Ha'avud, and Dabba Ha'avud becomes ownerless. But if it's Avudim Imenu Mitzui Yetzel Kol Adam, it doesn't have a full Shem Avud. But if he's Mesiyash from it, that's Mashlim the Shem Avud. And then it becomes Avud, and Avud is ownerless. So the Chazon Ish has the exact same thing, but a slightly different angle. There's a Gemara Chul and Kuf Lamed Tes Amid Aleph. That's the first daf in the last Perek, in Perek Shiloh HaKan. So the Gemara has there, and the top Tesis on Kuf Lamed Tes Amid Aleph has this comment. The Gemara says, a person is Magdish, a chicken, to Hegdish Perek Abayis. So the Gemara said, Higdish Tanagolis Leberek Abayis. If he's Magdish to Mizbech, it doesn't apply. Magdish Leberek Abayis is Mamin Hegdish. If you're Magdish, you can't be Magdish a chicken for a carbon. You can't be Magdish Torim a Bnei Yoina. But if something is a carbon, so that's not Mamin Hegdish. It's Mamin Bailim, but it has its Mamin Gavay. It's called Mamin Gavay. But it really belongs to the Bailim. But if someone is Magdish something to Berek Abayis, that's Mamin Hegdish. And the Gemara says, Tanagolis a Mordo. Someone was Magdish a chicken. Then he ran away from the Gizbar, and he can't chase after it. He has no way to retrieve it. So the Gemara says, Pakak Dushasa. Since the Hegdish loses its ownership over the chicken, because it ran away, the Gizbar is supposed to represent Hegdish, can't control it, ran away. So it doesn't have Kedusha either, because Berek Abayis, the Kedusha rests on the Mamon Hegdish. Kol Zman's Mamon Hegdish, it has Kedusha. Once Hegdish loses the Mammon, because Tanagardush and Marda ran away, so Pakak Dushasa. So Tosis says, Mikan Yesh Lombard, from this Gemara you can derive that if a farmer has chickens, and the chickens run away, and he has no way to retrieve them, he can't chase after it, he can't retrieve it, so then it becomes Hefker, so whoever wants can take it. So the Chazon Ish says, what's the Yisoid you see from the Gemara? He says, Nechasim Shemardu Al Balehem become ownerless. If I have a jacket and I wear it, I have a house and I control it, so I own it. But if something, I lose my power over my property, it ran away from me. I own a chicken and the chicken ran away. So you see from the Gemara that Hegdish loses its ownership over it, and because they lost the ownership, therefore the Berek Abayis, the Kedusha also disappears, because the Kedusha is Berek Abayis, rests on the Mammon Hegdish. So Tosis applies it to Hedyot also, not only to Hegdish. So the Chazon Ish says, you see, that's the klal from the Gemara. Nechasim shemardo abaleim, the owner loses his ownership. And that's what Yush is all about. When the person has been siyash from his property, it becomes nechasim shemardo abaleim. It's exactly the same thing that Rav Soloveitchik said. But he said it in different words. He said it that it's a word of mashlam zayin neshem ovud. So Rav Soloveitchik said he remembers hearing from his father and his uncle, Rav Elbel the Soloveitchik, they were learning together at one time, and they came up with the same vort that the Gemara says in Bava Kama and Daf Samach Tes Amid Aleph, that just like you can give a kiddushin lachalamid yom, you can give a get lachalamid yom, you can make a kinyan and karka lachalamid yom, sodin nisun lacha lachalamid yom. So the Gemara says you can be mafka something lachalamid yom also. I can declare that the Gemara should be hefker. I need the Gemara till the end of June. After June, we're going to finish the dorm. So I'm mafka the Gemara after from July 1st. So there's such a thing as hefka lachazman. So Rav Elbala Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, they both said the same idea. You can have Hefka Lachalamet, but you can't have Yush Lachalamet. Let's say the fellow misplaced his Gemara. He's looking high low, he looks in the library, looks in his Makam and Beis Medrash, he looks in the Shul, he looks by his children, by all the children. He can't find it. So he says, I give out. If I don't find it by March 1st, then I'm Mesiyayish. But he's not Mesiyayish now. So both the brothers came up with this Einfeld that Yush Lachalamet doesn't work. The whole idea of Kinyonim Lachalamet is because you need Das for Kinyonim. So the Rambam explains in Hilchas Gerishin, the Rambam has all the dinim of Tanai. So the Rambam says there are two types of a Tanai, the Tanai of him and Tanai Meyachshav. I give a girl the ring and say, Haret Mekudeshesli if it snows tomorrow. See, if it snows, if and when it snows tomorrow, at 3 o'clock, should become Mekudeshes. If I say, Haret Mekudeshes Lemi Achshav, if it snows tomorrow, then if it snows tomorrow, whenever, should become Mekudeshes, May Achshav. But the two types of Tanai, there's a Tanai of him, and a time May Achshav. The Mishnayos talk about it a lot, both in Gitna and in Kiddushin. So the Rambam says, you see from the Parsha of Tanai that there's such a thing as him. You can make a Maisa now, and the Chalos is going to be postponed till later. So leave out the Tanai, if it snows, if it doesn't snow. I give the girl a ring, and I say, Harem Kadesh is Lee, as of tomorrow, 3 o'clock. Why do I have to make it if and when it snows? So implicit in the Parsha of Tanai of him, that is that you can make a Chalos, Lach Alamed also. Without the Tanai, maybe yeah, maybe no. The Chalos should be tomorrow. So that's what the Rav Soloveitchik said, you learn out from the Parsha of Tanai that there's such a thing as Lach Alamet. So Tanai is only Shaykh by Kinyonim. You make a Get Ala Tanai, Kiddushin Ala Tanai, Hefker Ala Tanai, Kinyonim Ala Tanai. So just like that, you can make a Tanai of him, so you can make a Chalois Lach Alamet. But Yush is not something that you, it's not a Das Bailam that you makna something. You mashlim the shame over. So either it is over, it's not over. I can't say now, if I don't find it, by March 1st, I'm going to stop looking for it. I'm going to give up hope. But today he's not giving up hope. So he wasn't mashlem the shame of it today. So that's what they both thought. It wouldn't help. No such thing as yush lachalamet. Hefka lachalamet you can have. Yush lachalamet you cannot have. The Chazanish, on the opening Mishnah in Orlo, raises the following interesting idea, possibility. What does it mean, hefker? Hefker means... This animal used to be running around in the jungle, so it didn't belong to anybody. So I was Zeicha, and the animal, it belongs to me. Once it belongs to me, can I declare it as ownerless? That's what you learn out in the Pasuk, Tishmantenu and Atashta, Yesh Lechem Tisha Cherishi Kazu. I can declare it ownerless, and it reverts back to its original state of being ownerless. Or maybe there's no way to have it return back to its original state. Maybe the pshat is that I'm makne to the rabbim. And the rabbim can own property in one of two ways. Let's say the municipality owns the streets in New York City and owns City Hall. They own it. It means that they want to continue owning it. No citizen of New York City has the right to take over City Hall and say that it's his. But maybe Hefker Pshat is that it's not a declaring that it's ownerless. It doesn't revert back to become ownerless. Maybe the Pshat is a makne to the rabbim in the sense that any member of the rabbim has a right to take it, to be zeche, to acquire private ownership. Like we say, when you mafresh truma, so who does the truma belong to? Before the farmer is mafresh truma, all the tevel is his ownership. He owns it. When it's mafresh truma, the truma belongs to Shevet Kahuna. In Mafresh Maiserishin. So the Maiser, before he's Mafresh Maiserishin, everything belongs to the farmer, the Tevel. When he declares this is Maiserishin, it belongs automatically to the Shevet Leviyah. What do you mean it belongs to Shevet Kuna, Shevet Leviyah? It means that any member of Shevet Kuna has a right to take it and acquire ownership that it should become his. Instead of belonging to the whole Shevet Kuna, he has a right to take it that it should be his. That's what the Chazanish raises a possibility. He likes that possibility. Maybe Hefka doesn't mean that it reverts back to become ownerless. Maybe once you acquired ownership, there's no return. It can never become back ownerless. The new behemoths that are born in the jungle, they'll be ownerless. But the behemoth that I was zeichem and hefker, never going to revert back to become ownerless. But if I'm mafker it, mehefker means that you makne it to the rabbim in the sense that any member of the rabbim has a right to take it for himself. Why should you say like that? So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Lamed Gimel Achoshe Mishpat has all the dinim of Schiras Poelim. So the dinim, if I hire a worker, let's say I hire a person to work for me starting from September, and then I want to back out, and he wants to back out. So the dinim about backing out. What if he made a kinyan though? So then the Shulchan Aruch says, so the shach holds, he doesn't think any kinyan in work. He can always pale chayz ba'afil le'bem tzayom, Paul can always back out. But the Shulchan Aruch writes, not so. If the worker signed a contract and he signed it and he gave the shtar to the employer, so then the worker cannot back out because they made a kinyan. Or let's say they made, the employer already paid the salary in advance. So the employer made a kinyan kesef. Or if the employee signed a contract and he gave it to the employer, so he made a kinyan shtar, he's kind of. When he made a kinyan halipin, the employer gives a suitor to the worker, and the worker accepts it, and he says, in exchange with this suitor, I obligate myself to do the work for you. So then the mechaber paskens like the Rishonim that you can't back out. So on that sif, in Shin Lamed Gimel Siv Beis, when it says, once the employer made a kinyan with the employee, either shtar, or kesef, he paid him in advance, or chalipin, then the employee cannot back out. So Rabbi Kevega there on the side of the page quotes the Darkei Moshe, Darkei Moshe by the Ramah, who on that siman Shin Lamed Gimel quotes on Mordechai. Mordechai has two chidushim. Chidush number one, that the definition of rabbim is three people. That's a question. Whenever there's a din that distinguishes between rabbim and yochid, what's the definition of rabbim? So there is a gemara in Gittin, Mem Vav and Aleph. The gemara is talking about Neder Shehuda Barabim. There was an opinion, we don't pass like this, there was an opinion in the gemara, Neder Shehuda Barabim, Ein Lo Hafor, Ein Lo Hator. If the neder was taken in public, so there's no way to be mata the neder. So the gemara has a machlokes, what's the definition of rabbim? Is it three or is it ten? So the Minchas Chinuch quotes, in Mitzvah Tov Samach Beis, that there are differences between a Mesis and a Mediach. There are a couple of differences. So a Mesis is Mesis Liyachid, and a Mediach is Mediach LeRabim. So what's the definition of Yachid versus Rabim? So he quotes a Machlokes Achronim. He quotes Svarim. Some say three, some say ten. And others say no. If you look in the Gemara there in Gittan, Daf Mem Vav, the Machlokes where the Neder Shehuda Barabim depends on three or ten, you get the impression, perhaps from the Gemara, that everybody agrees that the definition of Rabbim is really three. But by Neder Shehuda Barab, maybe over there you need ten, because the Pasuk in Sefer Yoshua says, when the, what was the name of the nation that came? I forgot, they made believe that they're from Eretz Rechoika. I forgot already the Pasuk. The Givonim. So when the Givonim came, so Nishba Lahem Roshi Ha'edo. They took a shvur that they're not going to shepherd them. Then they found out later on that they were from the Zayinumas. So because Nishbalahem Rosh Ha'edah, so they didn't want to make a Chil Hashem. So the Gemara says the opinion that Rabbim, Neder Shehuda Barabim, Mein Lahafor, Mein Lahator, depends on 10, is a special, maybe it's a special din, not that they disagree in Kol HaTar Kula, that Rabbim depends on 10 as opposed to 3. Maybe in Kol HaTar Kula, definition of Rabbim is really 3. But over here, by Neder Shehuda Barabim, here it says, since the word Eda appears, and the word Eda appears on Masel Eda Harazos by the Meraglim, there were 12 Meraglim, and Yeshua B'Kolev gave a correct report, so the definition of Eda is 10. So it could be that that's a Yotzim and a Klal, that there's a sheet of 10, and a Kol HaTar Kula, Rabim would be 3. So that's what number one said, the Mordechai quoted by Rabbi Kevega, beginning of Shin Lamed Gimel, he says, definition of Rabim is 3. As opposed to 10 or more. And then he says, Chiddush number 2, when the Pasuk in Chumash says, Chisim karmim kala misach ha-kara mi'ana misach ha-tonu ish and sochiv, and that's the mitzvah of kinyonim, that's where the minchas chinuch, the sefer ha-chinuch, in the minchas chinuch, they have all the dinim, which kinyonim work by karka, which kinyonim work by mitaltlim, so that's Kisim kamim kalam isecha karam ayam isecha. When you make a kinyan with a yochid, when you make a kinyan with a rabbim, the rabbim is kind of a dvar malon. If the yochid, let's say you have a school that's run by the community, so the community consists of more than three people, or let's say you have a private school, a money-making school, and there are shutfim in the school, and the owners consist of three or more people. So whenever the bailim are three or more people, that's called the rabbim, and the yochid can be makna something to the rabbim without any need from Isaac Kinyan. So Rabbi Kevega quotes that. So that's what the Chazon Ish is angling to say. He says, maybe the pshat and hefker is that it's a kinyan to the rabbim. It's not that you're reverting it back to its original state that becomes ownerless. You're makna to the rabbim, but unlike city hall or the streets in the city that belong to the municipality and they want that it should remain in the ownership of the municipality, if you mafka something, so you give over ownership to the rabbim, like truma belongs to the Maman HaShevet, and Maiserishin is Maman HaShevet of the Levim, so maybe over here, so the Hefker is in the Maman HaRabim, to the extent that any member of that Rabim has a right to appropriate it and convert it into his own private ownership, like truma. Truma, sometimes the farmer has the right to exercise Tavis HaNoah, he has the right to pick which kind he wants to give it to. That's, he doesn't care to exercise Tavis HaNoah. So then any kohen has a right to take it because it belongs to the Shevet Kuhuna, not that it should remain in the ownership of the Shevet Kuhuna. It belongs to the Shevet Kuhuna with respect to it, that any member of the Shevet Kuhuna has a right to take it for himself. This is an interesting idea that maybe Hefker doesn't mean that it's ownerless, maybe means it belongs to the rabbin. We had the Machlokes Rashi. I mentioned the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in Psachim Dav Dalet on the base. What does it mean? Mederaisa bebitul bi'al masagi. So Tosfos learns pshat bitul chametz means that you mafke the chametz. Once you mafke the chametz, it doesn't belong to you. And the pasuk says leivah lecha chametz leivah lecha. So the word lecha means it has to belong to you. Shelcha yateraya. But if it doesn't belong to you, so you're not in violation of bal yira baymatz. So the Ramban agrees with Rashi, the Mechudish Dika Rashi. The Rama mostly sounds like he agrees with Rashi. Many Rishonim seem to agree with Rashi that Bitul Chametz doesn't mean Hefker, but rather Bitul Chametz is the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu. The Pashtus is like Taisus, that Tashbisu means either Ein Ber Chametz or the Besreifa Hashbasas or B'chol Dover. You have to destroy the Bien, you have to destroy the Chametz, not just make an oral declaration, you don't plan to use it, you don't plan to eat it. But a lot of Rishonim hold like that, that Tashbisu means that when you make the Bitul Chametz, you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah. So the Ramban doesn't agree with the Tosfos, and he says, how can Tosfos interpret that's such a davar pashut, that if something is hefker, you don't violate by Rabbi Motzeh? He says, look in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Am Psachim, there's a machlekes hatanaim, two brises that contradict each other. One brise says, chamishal hefker b'shus ha-Yisrael, you do violate by Rabbi Motzeh. Isn't that a pella? All right, you want to disagree with Tosfos that bitul chametz doesn't mean hefker, because the word bitul, why should the word bitul mean hefker? They say bitul chametz is tashbisa, you're making an oral declaration, but how can there be a brisa that you violate by Rabbi Motzeh, and chametz that doesn't belong to you? Isn't that the pasuk leiro lecha? Chametz leiro lecha sor, shalcha yateroi, aval atero shalachem shal gavoyim. So Mistam, you have to say, I seem to remember Rav Soloveitchik said, Mistam, you have to say like this, not like Tosfos understood, that a condition and violation of Bal Yiroi is that it has to belong to you. No. If the Chametz is Shal Hegdish, or Chametz is Shal Akum, so Hegdish and Akum are owners who are not Muzer on the Din of Bal Yiroi by Motzi. Rashi Shita seems to be in a few places in Psochim, the Chomet Shal Yisrael Acher B'Yishu say, I do violate Bal Yiroi by Matzah. The Bi'ir Agro quotes that, the Pnei Yeshua quotes that. A few Achrayim say that seems to be Rashi Shita. There is no such din, the Chomet has to belong to you in order to violate Bal Yiroi by Matzah. If it's Chomet Shal Akum, Chomet Shal Hegdish, that's the Lashon Gemar. Shal Choy Ateray, Abel Ateray, Shal Acherim, Rashi writes Acherim Anochrim. Acherim does mean someone else. Rashi writes, Acherim means Nochrim, or Shal Gavoya. So if the chametz is owned by a bailim who is a la bar hachi, a bal yira, by matzeh, Hegdish is a bailim who is not muzaran, is not a Jew. Hegdish is Hegdish. And nochrim are not muzaran bal yira, by matzeh. So if the chametz is owned by someone who's not buzim bal yura by matzei, that chametz is exempt from bal yura by matzei. But a chemtzah shall yisrael lachad b'yushu si. Let's say you have two roommates in college, and one is observant, one is not. So one of them is going to leave the chametz in his apartment. So we usually assume, like Taisus, it's not my headache, it's not my problem. The chametz doesn't belong to me. But Rashi Shita seems to be not so, that you violate by your by matzah, even if you're not mekabel achrayis. Chemtzah shel Yisrael lachad b'yushu si, you violate by your by matzah. So it could be that that's why the Yerushalmi has one brisa, the chametz shel hefker b'yushu si, you do violate by your by matzah. There is no, not like Taisa, there is no requirement, it's not a condition that you only violate by your if the chametz belongs to you, shel choy atarayah. No, if it's shalachem shel gavaya, if it belongs to someone else, if it belongs to a person, an ownership, who's not a barhachi, not muzer, and bal yura by matzah, that chametz is exempted. But maybe that's the question. What's the pshat and hefker? Maybe hefker means that it's ownerless. Maybe hefker means that it belongs to the rabbin. So if it means ownerless, so it could be that it is subject to bal yura by matzah. The only time there's a hafkar is if the chametz belongs to hegdish or the chametz belongs to akum. But there's another Rashi in Psochem on Daf Menvavim and Beis. Rashi says, once you're mafrish challah, a person is making isa on Pesach, and then he's mafrish challah, and it's ketz mafrish and challah betum, and everything is tummy. So you're not allowed to, what's going to prevent it from becoming chometz? It's going to be, if you leave it around, you leave it around for 18 minutes or longer, it's going to turn into chometz. So there's going to be a problem about your Rabbi Motzeh. So the Tana in the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shua says, "Ein zechamish in mishar mala bal yura bal mat." There is no bal yura in this. So Rashi writes on that Mishnah, "Why isn't there bal yura? But isn't it chemtzah shal Yisrael acher? The challah belongs to shevet kahuna." So he says, "No individual kohen was zeiche in the challah yet. If it would belong to another kohen, if a kohen was already zeiche in the challah." Then it's mashma from Rashi. I would violate by yura by matzah. Chemtzah shel Yisrael acher b'yushu si. I would violate by yura. But the chametz belongs to shevet kahuna. So shevet kahuna is an ownership, but you can't really say they're Jewish. They're not people. It's a concept. Shevet kahuna, like shevet levia. It's a concept. It does mean all the kahanim are shutvim. Shevet kahuna. So it could be that shevet kahuna. That's what Rashi sounds like. He says shevet kahuna is like a chal Hashem by them, like hegdish. So it's a chalash and bottom like Hegdish, who's around Bal Yura by Matzah. So that's why it's exempted from Bal Yura by Matzah. There's a Rashi and Bava Kama and Daf Chav Chesam et Aleph that Tosfos is not happy with. The Gemara says there that if someone is Mafrish Peya and a Nani picks it up, So Peya is Pater from Trumas and Maisvis. So Rashi says, why is Peya Pater from Trumas and Maisvis? Because it's Hefker. So Tosfos says, what do you mean Peya is Hefker? Peya is not Hefker. There's no such thing as Hefker. Only Anim can take Peya. Ashirim can't take it. And Bisilu say Hefker l'anim eino Hefker, Ashi Hefker eino l'anim l'ashirim. Peya is not Hefker. Maybe you can say, maybe you can't say, discussion and Nektzois, maybe you can say that Peya belongs to the Shevet Anim. Just like there's a Shevet Kahuna and there's a Shevet Leviya, so the Tzais raises the possibility he's not happy with, and maybe it belongs to the Shevet Aniyim. But he can't say that Peya is Hefker. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's what Rashi meant also. Whenever the Peiris don't belong to a Bailim who is Mechuyiv and Afrashas Truma, so that's a Ptur. So if Peya, just like Hefker, is Pater from Trumas and Maisis because it doesn't belong to a Jew who's Chayv in Trumas and Maisis. So too, if the Peiris are Peya, so the Peya also belongs to a Bailam who's not Mukhiv and Afrash is Trumas and Maisis. The Peya belongs to the Shevet Anim. So that's also a Ptur. Maybe that's what Rashi meant. Maybe Rashi didn't mean to say that Peya is Hefker Anim. He meant just like Hefker is Pater because the Hefker doesn't belong. The payers that are hefker are not chayv and shumas ma'is because it doesn't belong to a person whose muzer has the mitzvah of hafrashas shumas ma'is. So the pay also doesn't belong to a person who's mechayv and shumas ma'is. Let me just close with the Tosfos in Yevamos Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph. This is Imam Zayas talking about the din of Kolsa Kinyonai. There was a Ran in the Dorn that we had before about Kolsa Kinyonai. So the Taisa holds like that Ran, that you can't make, you cannot make a Kinyan Khalip and Lachazman. Against the Ran disagreed with the Rambam. So the Taisa holds like that Ran. And Taisa applies the Klal of Kolsa Kinyonai to all the Kinyonai. So then Taisa is bothered with the Kasha. How come there's no issue of Kolsa Kinyonai by Hafrasha's Truma? You mafresh the truma lachazman. I say, let the truma be chal as of tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock in the morning. But I'm making the declaration of truma today, and it's not chal today, and tomorrow I'm not making the declaration. Shouldn't be called sekinyana. So Taisa says it's not a problem because amirasa lagavoya came to see rasa lahed yadami. It's a big fat Taisa was there on Sadi Gimel, Aman Aleph, and Yavam, and it's one line in the middle of the Taisa. So Rabbi Yosef Engel picks up that one line. He says, wow, you see a chiddush in Taisa's. Amirasa legabai kim sirasa lehed yadam, he applies to Chuma. We usually apply it only to Hegdash. So Rav Soloveitchik taught that that's not what Taisus meant. Taisus just meant to say, you can't apply the issue, the problem of Kol Sikiyana can't apply to Hafrashas Chuma. If it would apply, so you wouldn't be able to be Mafrish Chuma even Me'achshav. I make a declaration, let's say I know I have 100 bushels of Tvuah in my barn in Eretz Yisrael, and each bushel has a number on it, and I say in New York, bushel number one and number two, you usually mafish 2%. Echem mechamishin. There's a midabain in this to be mafish truma. So he says, bushels number one and two should be truma on everything. He's not picking it up, he's not there, he's not looking at it. He knows that he has 100 bushels, each bushel has a number, so the din is that the truma is chal. So even if you mafish truma me'achshav, it's going to be kol sekinyan. Kol sekinyan means the Maisi Kinyan doesn't relate to the object. Here by Truma, there is no Maisi Kinyan. So that's what Taisus meant to say. There's no problem of Hafrashas Truma, Lachazman, because if there would be a problem, you wouldn't be able to be Mafresh Truma Me'achshav either. There is no Maisi that's ever Mitzurif to the Truma. So the same is true regarding Hefker also. How come the Gemara said in Baba Kama that you can make Hefker Lachazman? That's a Beferish Gemara. Rav Soloveitchik said from his father, from his uncle, you can't make Yirish Lachazman. That's a beferishe gemara. Kol anilka, kol amislake. So how can you make hefker lachazman? Why isn't it kol sekinyan? The answer is, if hefker will have a problem of kol sekinyan, then hefker can't even mechal me'achshav either, because I'm mafke my field in Tel Aviv, but I'm not there. I'm not touching it. I'm not doing a ma'isa that relates to the chepza. So the issue of kol sekinyan cannot apply not to hafrashas truma and not to hefker. Because there is no ma'isa that relates to the chef to the chlam. These are some issues when it gets to hefka. There's a lot more to research. Okay.